Are we ready? We have it on projection. Please, can we stand? It is as our custom is now, before we receive the word, we take our confessions. Can we all please kneel before the Lord? Oh, that's interesting. Can we please declare with this morning with me, Father?
Father.
Together, we're going to take together. Father.
Father.
From there, we go to...
The Lord
of your word. I receive and submit myself to the light of your word. I am changed by your word into the same image as Christ. And Christ is seen, felt, and received through my life. Now I bring down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I yield myself to your word, paying complete attention. I receive grace and wisdom that changes my life. Your words are spirit and life to me, healing my bodies and restoring my soul. I receive every blessing you have prepared for me today. Your peace and joy are multiplied in my life. My life is a testament to your glory. I rejoice at your word as one that has found great treasures. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. For the past few weeks, we have been talking about the smart believer. We've been talking about the smart believer and what it entails. Are we here? Let's move to this. Can we move to this now? We're good here.
Glory to God. All right. Thank you, Jesus. We've been talking about the smart believer. I said I want us to be the first smartest church, smart church, right? We are smart everything. I think it's good we have a smart church, the church to get smart. And the idea is for us to move smoothly, effortlessly in our lives, and to see results in our lives, and not to have to do so much, not to have to put in so much into our work to see results. And that when we talk about smart things now, we always say, we tell people say sometimes it's not about hard work, it's about working smartly. It's not about working hard, it's about working smartly. So it's not just about doing hard things and difficult things, but also about doing simple things that will help produce and generate results in your life. Amen. And so that's what I've been talking about. It's because sometimes we want to do something difficult. If the man has said for you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? Come on, remember the Naaman, and when he went to see the prophet, and the prophet said, go deep in the river 7 times. And then it was like, what nonsense, what bad. And the servant said, Master, if the prophet had asked you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? You would have done it. Come on. And so we want to do something difficult and thinking that we'll get results from there. And that's how our life will work. And then we are thinking that, oh, the reason why this thing is not working for me, or the reason why I'm not growing in Christ, or the reason why I'm not all that I should be in Christ, is because there's so much work to do and I'm not meeting up to the work I should do. But no, that is not the case. I'm saying now, and what I've been trying to show you for the past few weeks is that you can do something simple. I mean, just simple, smart stuff there. You're not working hard. You are working smartly as a Christian, and you are generating results in your life. Hallelujah. And so today, I want to conclude this smart believer something. I think it's a good thing. We've talked about the reading the Bible, how it is simple, smart. Just read the Bible and you begin to grow spiritually and get results in your life. You're just growing spiritually, you're just doing simple things like reading the Bible. You're not doing something complex. I thought it's not about reading 100 chapters. Just reading the Bible every day and you see the results of you see growth in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we've talked about reading the Bible. We've also now talked about prayer, and that's why we came to say the Lord answers prayer. Long prayers, short prayers, the Lord answers prayers. And we need to develop a simple habit of bringing everything to God in prayers. And if you pray like that and you're praying regularly, there will be no need for you to have those. You have long hours of prayer, definitely. But you know, you're not going to be running as a matter of situation to God, because you are constantly there in the communion before the Lord. Hallelujah. And we say that's a smart believer. He's just praying. You are praying all the time. You are praying all the time. You are praying all the time. And you're opening up your heart to God. I mean, it's smart. So that imagine you pray all the time, you do not need to have to pull out so much when an occasion arises for prayer. Come on. It's like somebody say, you know, let me say, I think if you want to take what I'm saying some way, some other way, it should be like when somebody says a little drop of water makes a mighty ocean. Just read the Bible. The word of God will enter into you. Just pray. You solve all the problems before they even come. You're just talking to God regularly. So that's smart. That's a smart believer. He's not going to have to run to God in a place of prayer because things are happening and he's confused. No, he's just smart. It's just something that happens effortlessly in his life. Just happens regularly without stress. And then you see your Christian life, you're amazed at the results of your Christian life because you are doing these simple things. These simple things that we know. You're just doing these things. Reading Bible. Praying. Simple things. And we are so lost. I remember I telling this, we are so lost because you read your Bible and it's like, man, you are a pastor. I mean, that tells you when something like that happens, you see how bad it has become. You cannot read your Bible. It's like, that is something very big. No, every smart believer should read the Bible. You can just say, Father, I thank you for it. Pray yo, Spiro, you know. Pray, they didn't even catch you pray. Shaka. They just got to say, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this thing. Father, I thank you, Lord. I'm just grateful for your God. And like, what did you do? I just thank God. Yeah, man, you know, our mama, speech about. It's funny. You just said three sentences. And maybe with your hands clasped, or maybe you just, Father, I thank you, Lord. And it's like, you are really spiritual. People consider that to be a very spiritual thing. And all that. I mean, so how lost we are, and believers don't even do anything. They just, but you now get to the other extreme, where it has to be hard work, where it is 24 days prayer, non-stop, so it's like that hard work, and then you just do something small, it's as if you've done so much. Because it's important and it's true that just that small prayer is powerful and can produce results in your life. Hallelujah. Today, I want to move on to the third thing I believe that a believer should do, and this is important, and believers should learn to do this, and it is smart. This is a smart thing. Fasting and the smart believer. It's fasting, and it's our culture. It has been our culture for a long time now. After the first Sunday of the month, the next 3 days we just engage in a fast. We just engage in a fast. The first three. So this is the first Sunday of the month of August, and so that just tells us automatically as a custom, and that's what we've been trying to say. That's what I'm trying to talk to you about. Make this is a habit. Custom. It's normal to read the Bible. It's not something big. It's normal to pray. And now I want to also say it is normal. It's a custom to fast. Amen? Amen. I've covered a great deal for the past few hours. I think I've done 2 hours of prayer, 2 hours of word. That's four Sundays, and I'm doing one Sunday of fasting. And so what I've been trying to say, this thing should be a custom. And so I'm telling you now, I'm going to finish up with this today, but I'm saying now we have reading the Bible as a custom. As a habit, you just do it, just read a little there, and then prayer becomes also a custom, and fasting has been a custom for us, and it's a privilege for me. Today, really, I wanted to begin to talk to you about other things, but I said, we're fasting tomorrow, so it's a bit of an opportunity for us to say, this custom we have been doing it, you've been doing it, I want to show you how it is smart. I've told you before that it is powerful, and when we talk about our fast as a church, you say, don't you do 21, 40 days fasting? We don't. We make it a custom. We're not going to fast at the beginning of the year and then launch into the year doing whatever we want. We want to make it a custom. We want to make it a habit, something we do regularly. And somebody says, let me tell you, we fast like me around 21 days a year. And I'll say, that's what you do a year. And we will say, we fast about 30 days a year, comfortably. As a matter of custom, if you take the first January, we fast 7 days,
And then you have the remaining 11, and we do 3 days. That's how many? Come on. That's four straight to. That's 40 days. I've not done the math, so please forgive me. I don't know we are doing it as a custom. I'm not joking, truthfully. That amounts to 40 days. So we do 3 times 11, 33, and January is 7. Boy, we are fastos. That's smart. I'm fasting 40 days a year, and you won't even know. That's what I'm talking about. But that, I'm happy. I thought about 31 or 30 something days there, about truthfully. I don't know, do 40 days. So we fast 40 days every year. That's a good custom. Now I'm excited. Now I'm a great guy. No, I'm not joking. I mean, we fast 40 days. It's not the 40 days. We're gonna die. My God, man, we do it every year. You're like, how are you doing? No, just do 3 days every month. It's a habit, it's a custom, and we do that, and we build ourselves. And so you find that you are growing, things are changing in your lives, and you don't even know how is it happening. We're not doing so much. That's a smart believer. In my Christian work has been long and has been fruitful because I have been observing simple things. I have been taking simple steps and working with the Lord. And it's a privilege that I'm sharing these things with you, because sometimes people look at it and say, oh, you must be doing something really heavy. No, I just read the Bible, I pray regularly, and I fast regularly. I just do these things regularly. And we've made a fasting a custom, and it's important that I feel that today you give me the privilege to show you again how it is important we imbibe this custom, and that we understand what we are really doing. Understand. Come on, say understand. Understand. Understand what we are really doing. Will you please take your Bibles, or will you project that for us in John chapter number 6 and verse number 35. In John chapter number 6 and verse number 35, we read, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Come on, are you all here?
Yes, sir.
If you've gone home, say amen. Alright. It's too early to go home. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. So we see from this very verse, I think from here we'll begin to, I will just be delve into these truths and these things I want to show you to you today. And I'll maybe be here and there. I just hope you open up your heart and maybe give you a great understanding of the habits, of the custom that we have when we fast 3 days every month. Amen. So Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. When we consider fasting, we are doing and we are going without food. We are going without food, and this is what we are saying when we fast. We are declaring that Jesus is the bread of life. That's what we're saying. This is the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. You think you need food for life, but he says, I am the bread of life. When we fast and we set food aside, we declare this scripture. We make this scripture real. We bring this scripture to life. My fasting declares that Jesus is necessary for my life. You know, this is just after he had done the miracle of the bread and fishes and the fish, and they came to him and he said the Bible said they came to him not because they didn't see the miracle, but they ate of the loaves and the fish. And so people come to God, and many a times I'm doing this, and today's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough for us. I'm doing this because we think that when we fast, we manipulate God and we push God. I'm hungry, so he doesn't have an option. No, actually our fast don't say that. Our fast say that. He says rather that Jesus is all that we require for our lives. That even in the midst of our needs and the things that we desire and this world and the crave in this world, that Jesus is our sustenance. I am the bread of life. And so when we fast, we are setting aside bread for the bread of life. That's why we say we fast on this side and we are feasting on the other side. Because we are actually eating the bread of life. There are things we require. But he says, no. What is the real need of our lives? What is the true pursuit? What is the real hunger of your life? It's actually Jesus. We can try to fill up with many things, but they never do satisfy. It is from this pursuit to that pursuit. It is from this want to that desire. But when we take in the bread of life that satisfies, he says, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And so you find the one who knows the Lord. You find the one who comes to the Lord full.
And you wonder, why is he full? How is he full? Because he eats of the bread of life. So when we set aside food on this side and fast, we are actually feasting on the bread of life, which is the true desire of our life. The true vacuum, the real vacuum in your life, the real emptiness in your life is not the car you don't have. The real emptiness in your life is not the boyfriend or the girlfriend. The real emptiness in your life is not the money. The real emptiness of your life, the real vacuum in your life is Jesus. You fill up with the bread of life and you find that you have life. Come on. People have cars and houses and mansions and they take cocaine to sleep. Come on. And we as believers, smart believers, we will say no. We can move swiftly. We can move easily into our Lord, we can move swiftly into that place where we desire him by fasting. We just say no, not these things, but the Lord. And that's what we declare. And so that's why we said, when we are fasting on this side, we are feasting on the other side. We are feasting on the other side. We are actually eating the real food. We are actually benefiting more. And we are actually declaring to our hearts, to everyone, it's a spiritual statement, that see, Jesus is the bread of life. There's none other that can satisfy me. He is the only one that can satisfy me. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Are you here? Take your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 9. We must know why we fast. Turn to Matthew chapter number 9. If you're with your Bibles, you're nice to turn. If you can't turn, this projected for you. Matthew chapter number 9. Go to verse number 14. Will you do verse number 14 for me first? I can read in context. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not? So Jesus, you know, the says, come on, we fast. Disciples of John who fast, and the Pharisees they fast. They're doing this often. And so they asked him this question in next verse. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Come on. So Jesus says, listen, I'm here. Right now, enjoy my presence. Enjoy my presence. They're going to enjoy my presence. There will be no need to fast. When we talk about the bread of life, we said Jesus says, I'm the bread of life just now, right? We read that scripture just now. Imagine the bread of life was there standing before you. You are consuming the bread of life. That's clear. So he says, there'll be no point. There's no point. Now, I'm here right now. But when he be taken from them, of which we know he's gone up to be with the Lord, and so we fast. He said, then shall they fast. And they fast to declare. They fast to declare that he is, in truth, the bread of life. Come on. They fast to declare that nothing on this earth will fill that void. He's not here, and I know he's not here, and I desire him more than everything. I'll do everything, but I desire him more than everything. I want many things, but I desire him more than anything. And even the things that I need, and I come to him, and you see, when we fast, when we come to him, and we reach out to him, and we hold him, and we say, Lord, no, you could fast, and you can. It's going to be a long one, but I'm going to do it in 1 week, so you have to pay attention. Are you here? So you fast and you come to God. Somebody said, but there are even needs in my life in this month of August. And I agree, in this month of August, and there are things you saved desire, so we're setting out time to fast. You know what we are doing? We are saying, Lord, we seek you, we seek your face, we need you, because it is in you that there's the fulfillment of all these other things we require for our lives. It is only by your hand, it's only by your power that we can see all these things in our lives. And so we are seeking him above them. Are you here? I'm coming to you and I'm saying, no, I'm going to set food aside. I'm going to make a statement to say, you know, I've always told you that fasting is a spiritual statement. It's something that says, Lord, I seek you. I desire you more than every other thing. And when we desire the Lord and we come to the Lord and we receive of him life, come on, we know we have this life actually and the power and the grace to receive every other thing that we require. How else we hear him clearly, unless we spend some time, we stop in our pursuits and we are hungry and we say we want that bread, And so I stop. And in these 3 days, I'll spend some time feasting only of the bread of life. And when I do this, and you come to me, and you touch me, that issue also, of that pursuit, will become, it will be clearer how I can get about it. It will be clearer how I can get it. It will be clearer. And my pain and the sorrow or the weight upon my life will become lighter. Because I actually have the bread of life. I have the real thing. Sometimes we sorrow for the things we do not have. And it weighs us down. But when we touch Jesus and we connect with him, we touch the real things. And then it is not longer, it's no longer that thing, it's not as if that thing is no longer important or useless. It now becomes not as important as we thought it was, because we have actually handled Jesus. So the believer that fasts is actually smart. Nothing ever takes first place. Come on. Nothing takes first place. He says we will fast. And this scripture, I put this scripture here on purpose, because I want it to be clear to us that we should fast. Somebody says fasting. No, I don't know. You know, some people have heard it all manner of things. I say, no, you don't fast. It's the Old Testament. Blah, blah, blah. In fact, I tried my best to do away with as much Old Covenant scriptures on fasting as possible. So in this teaching, next few verses I'll show to you, there'll be some scriptures from the Old Covenant, but more of them you will see in the New Covenant, and where fasting is important. Amen. Amen. Fasting is a weapon against every force that would take satisfaction in God away. It's a weapon against every force that will take satisfaction in God away. Sometimes we could begin to pursue things we desire. I love the way John Piper puts it. He calls them innocent delights. There are things we desire above God. We begin to pursue them because we want them, we need them above God. And they begin to choke the word of God. And before you know it, somebody says he's away from God. How did it happen? He never really did fast. Come on. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Fasting is a weapon.
Yes, sir. I have a handy.
Against every force that contends for the satisfaction in God.
Hallelujah.
We want to take it away. Even our pursuits. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Job, money, boyfriend, money, wife, pleasing wife, everything to please my wife. Hey. It now comes before God. And when you fast, you are making a statement. You're not taking any of these things. The basic thing that we find, why fasting is... Are you here?
Yes, sir.
This is a conversation structure. Why fasting is important, and one thing that makes it powerful is why we deal with food. Okay, let me put it like, sorry. Why we deal with food. You know, when we're talking about fasting, we're talking about food, basically. But not so. And that is not correct when it's just food. Because some of us, and many times, there are many other things, there are other things that contend with satisfaction in God. More than food. Or like food. Come on. So we'll say something like this. Let's just try to be here. We'll say something like fasting and prayer. I'm sure you'll spend some time reading your Bible when you are fasting. Because what about if I leave food and indulge in every other thing? So it's not just about food. Food, and I want to say this now. The reason why food comes in is because it is basic. Basic in terms of we tend to think we need food to survive. It is basic. So food seems primary. But we should, the smart believer should engage in fasting beyond the fasting of food. Phone, social media, as fasting. Anything that would fight against sleep. Come on. Uh-huh. You know, when we say fasting, and when I said fasting in title, we'll talk about food primarily, but I'm not talking about food alone. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
For some of us, it's sleep. It is movies. So why fast away from food and my delight is found in movies? So I'm not eating Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but this is the time I download all the seasons and I'm watching everything. You see there's a problem. I'm going to say something now. There's a problem. There's this thing where the delight is fully not in God. And so we remove food, but we find another substitute to food, which is now the movie. If we take away the movie, we find another substitute, which is now social media. But when we are fasting, and what it should be for us should be everything goes. The next 3 days, it should be word alone, God alone, in his presence alone. Come on. When you do that, you kill the things, the forces that contend for satisfaction in God. That is a smart believer. We're not hungry to manipulate God. You can't manipulate God. Come on. You can't manipulate God. Say, I'm not eating next to that, I'm not eating. So at least now that you have seen, I've not eaten. You know. And because many people fast thinking that it's an instrument to manipulate God. I've always told you, not even prayer manipulates God. All you are doing when you fast, when you pray, when you read the Bible, is to put yourself in a position where you can hear him clearly, where you can see him clearly, where he can speak to you easily, clearly. Come on. Are you here? That's what we do. So prayer is not going to move God. Now say, hey. No, he's not going to move. Oh, he's eating, he's hungry. Oh, hey, now that he's hungry, I must do. No, he doesn't have to. That sacrifice, setting food aside and going to God and touching him, brings in everything you require for your life. Because Jesus is the bread of life. The true bread. You think that you find satisfaction in the boy till you have the boy. You find that he is not the satisfaction. And then the funny thing with some people, instead of stopping and realizing, we move to the next thing, my job. I need promotion. I need to work harder. You work hard for the next few years. And then there's still emptiness. And then something else needs to fill that space up. And then he says, man must do something. He takes sports. Takes him to sporting. Boy, you know, this world, we are always trying to fill the void, the real need in our life. Somebody must put something, so he gets to support him. And the wife that he pursued just now, before he got her, she was everything. But now, she can be there in the kitchen and can be watching football. And she's confused. Oh, what a confused wife. I pity for her. She thought she could fill him up. You can't fill him up. He said, he's still empty. Now he has you. You are just one side now. He got the promotion too. After the promotion, the job became nothing. Just one side now. He feels that if he can watch match now, football, sports, it can help him fill the void. Every time he prays quiet, instead of being quiet before his maker, he fills it up with something. Can you be quiet before your maker? Or must you fill it up with something? It was money. He got some money now. Now he has spare time to entertain himself with movies. He finds that he has money now. He pursued money and said, God, wait one side. If I can get money, I'll settle with you. He got money. He got this. Nothing truly satisfied. Jesus is the bread of life. The bread of life. And you must know that. And so when you come to God, when we set everything aside, I'm going to make some, I'm preaching to you. I hope you're here. We'll set everything aside. We are saying it's a spiritual statement. You are the bread of life. And then we come back to enjoy these things. If anybody has blessed my life when it comes to fasting and the pursuit of fasting and broken religion away from me, it is the man John Piper. He said to me many years ago, and I can never forget it, when we fast, are you here? When we fast, we declare that he's everything to us. And we set food aside, we set everything aside, and we say, Lord, you are everything to us. And when we eat, we declare His glory in His provision for us. So fasting is good, eating is beautiful. It is only in fasting that we see the joy of eating. Somebody says the way he speaks as if he didn't marry a wife. So you don't understand me. No. The only way she makes sense is because God makes sense. Or else it's useless. The two of them work together. He says, so we shouldn't pursue money. Guy, I make money. But when I fast, I declare that money is not all there is to it. So I'm going to use food again. I'm going to say that again. I don't think you got it. When I fast, I declare that He's above everything. And I set food aside. And I say, the food is nothing compared to you. And the day I'm eating, when I'm done fasting, boy, I'm eating so well. And when I'm eating, I'm saying, Lord, I thank you. This is your provision. You are glorified in my eating. He's glorified in our eating. He's exalted in our fasting. Nothing is lost. He's glorified when I abstain. He's glorified when I go for it. And because I'm only going for it now because I have abstained from it. And I see His glory in the provision that He's made. Who made the food? Who provided for me the food that I eat now? Come on. Who provided for me the food that I eat? It is God. And Father, I glorify you for this food. You are my great provider. You are Jireh. And then when I set the food aside, I say, Lord, you are more to me than the food that you provided. So two of them are beautiful. Two of them are beautiful. When I rest, and I say, oh, I want to rest. I rest and I say, Lord, I renew my strength. Anytime I eat, I pray, Lord, I thank you for this meal. I thank you for this meal. I thank you because as I eat, I receive nourishment for my body, a health for my body, so that I can live for you again and serve you with all my strength. That's why I eat. I thank you for the provision so that I can be nourished and be healthy and then step out to live for you. Food, and I eat. And then I fast and I say, all my strength and my life and my nourishment don't come from this thing. It comes from you. So we pursue things. We need things. But we say He's above every other thing. Somebody says something very powerful. The greatest adversary of the love of God is not His enemies, but His gifts. The greatest adversary of the love of God is not His enemies, but His gifts. The thing that challenges God most in our lives is not His enemies. It is His gifts. His gifts replace Him. And food is just one of those. So, I'm going somewhere. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Will you take your Bibles there? 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. I knew today that the church was going to be like this. I knew. And the way, because you are looking at me like this, I'm tempted to do it next week. You see how food is exalted. You see how many of you, maybe some of you, maybe some of you don't even participate in the fast. And in our fast, because it's a hunger for God, it's not this to this. Have you found out we don't say this to this? That's don't say this to this. No. Take water. I'll tell you, take water. Go as long and as far as you can go. But push yourself to say, to make that statement real, you are the bread of life. If it is a 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, if it moves to 8 o'clock to say it, it's a matter of making a spiritual statement, not matter of the clock. It's a spiritual statement, not the clock. It's a statement that says, Lord, and when I'm hungry and there's that thing inside of me, I say, Lord, you are more than this. I need you for my life. You are all that I need for my excellence and for my life to walk. That's what fasting is. So move yourself. We don't have any doctrine. I mean, as I studied and I prepared again, over and over again, I've done this work several times and I do it over and over again. There's no doctrine for time. No doctrine for time. No doctrine for time. Nowhere. will encourage you to go as far, to push yourself, but there's no doctrine for time. He didn't say if a believer does to this and will do that, no doctrine for time. No. Frequency, none. The new covenant seems to be quiet about it. He tells us to fast, but doesn't tell us about duration. And in this place, he gives us something very powerful. Are you here together? In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 5, it says, defraud not one another, except it be with consent for a time. He's talking about the husband and the wife. Talking about the husband and the wife. I'm talking about sex. And it says, defraud not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. So this is not old covenant. This is Paul talking to new covenant believers who know Jesus. They are born again. He says they should give themselves to fasting and prayer. Fasting adds more. It makes prayer louder. It's a statement. And I've told you before, I've told you many times, when I teach fasting, I tell you, one of the ways you can pray without even opening your mouth is when your body is crying out to God. When you make those sounds are statements to God. You're fasting. It's a statement.
Yes, sir.
This is a spiritual statement. Fasting and prayer. You find out we say fasting and prayer. You are praying regularly, right? Praying regularly, but you add a little bit of fasting. You mix it a little bit, it makes the statement louder. Because your body is added to it. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, my soul faints, my body longs for you. We'll look at that scripture. But you see here, he says they may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinence. You see that now? So he says, husband and wife, give yourself to fasting and prayer. But he says, not too long, lest you get into issues. So, what about if you are smart and you just do 3 days? What about you're smart and you just do a day? And say, babe, I love you, but these 2 days is God. And she says, I honor that. And a wife or a husband says, I honor that, understands the principle, because God comes first before you. Watch it, if you come fast, you are dead. Fasting reveals so much. He cannot set out morning food and afternoon food for God. You are a lady here, you are dead. He cannot even manage his appetite. Small food, stomach appetite can't manage. You know there are many appetites in our body. You see, nobody answers me. I knew, you know, when I was preparing, I knew it was going to be like this, but I didn't know it would be this bad. This is bad. Many appetites, many longings. I hear a lady, she's complaining. I'm a pastor. Complaining, my husband doesn't even assist me. He just took it inside television. They are watching match. That's why my husband, he has gone to his friend's place to watch match. Since morning, they're just watching match. She's angry. She didn't bother about the other appetites. There's an appetite he has for that thing that is above you. If that is just one of those appetites, that thing, you will shout, you will call it today. You will defraud him of sex for the next 1 week to punish him. He will still do it next year. He won't miss it. It don't make any sense to him. That appetite is higher than you. When we fast, we say there's no appetite. There's nothing that will control me. Food will not. I said it is the basic. That's why food is inside. Film will not. I can equally just off the thing and attend to what I need to attend to. I can. I have that power. Do you have the power to stay away from food in the morning? You show how powerful you are. I'm trying to help you. I know you're not responding like that because it's getting to you and it's changing you, and I'm grateful to God it's changing you. And I don't mind me. It's the example in my mind, so don't be pissed with me, especially when I talk about 100 wives, whatever. Because it's a problem. They are complaining, but their husbands, they allow them every appetite. They never check that their husbands has no appetite for God. And if he follows every other appetite, what makes you think that you are wanting? Don't touch me. You have offended me. Other appetites are there. And people are wondering. They think you have so much power. You think that's all the appetites in a man or in a woman. Food. If you will not stay and say God is higher, then if God is not higher, what makes you think you will be higher? If God is not higher, why do you think you'll be higher? Because you are fine. Don't let me go there. It will help you kill every other appetite. It will help you, it will show you that you are not yet there. I'm not talking about duration now. I'm talking about making a statement. Lord, you are above everything. You are above everything. The stomach is not king. You are king. You are king. When I'm able to subdue this appetite, I can press forth and subdue other appetites. I can force other appetites down. Because this appetite is one of them. So, when you're able to do food, guess what? You tell yourself too, I am able to subdue my phone. Come on. I take my phone, put it up there. I'm not attending to this phone. Today, I'm doing without phone. Come on. Just maybe between morning, afternoon, evening. Just today. By evening, I can pick up my phone, do all I want to do. But today, I'm doing without it. And guess what I'm doing? Guess what I'm saying? Lord, you are first. In fasting, our attention, our thoughts, our time, guess what? All goes to God. Now, we create more time because my wife always says, my wife sometimes you say, hey, I wish you were fasting. I have to wake up in the morning and prepare food, prepare breakfast. But when we are fasting, I can sleep longer. You sleep longer. And yeah, it's true. You have to wake up by 4:30, start around 1 hour. But when we are fasting, around 6:30, praise the Lord. Thank God for this fast. I mean, marry first, you know what it is. What are we eating tomorrow? What are we eating tomorrow? You always ask me, what are we going to eat tomorrow morning? We are eating rice, yam, beans, moi moi, potato. We are eating everything. What are we eating again tomorrow? But if we are fasting, I would not need to ask myself what we are eating tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, we'll take care of itself. God, we're not going to eat tomorrow morning. Tomorrow till around 2, 3. And good luck for everybody. So, it creates time. And that time should be dedicated towards the Lord. Towards seeking His face. So, fasting is recommended. Paul says to fast and pray. You always get that fasting and prayer. Because when you are praying, like I've told you, it's good to pray. But it's powerful when you mix it a little bit with fasting. So, in medicine, in our field, you might not say that now, but you can check it up. Some drugs make some drugs stronger. When they mix a drug with another drug, it amplifies the effect of that drug. So, when we are praying, it's powerful. When we add a little bit of fasting, bam, very powerful. Very powerful. I'll leave it at that. I'm not focused on that. I'm focused on the power of fasting. How fasting leads our heart to God. I wrote some things down that I think will help you. You are responding better now. I thank God for that. I mean, the word of God is getting to you now. You are seeing, this guy is not crazy. This thing makes sense. This thing are true, right? When we fast, we are actually seeking God. We are not bribing God. We are not manipulating God. We are seeking God. One, so that you can align yourself with His plan. When you fast and you're seeking God so that you align yourself with His plan for your life. In the plan, in fasting and praying in the month of August, we say, Lord, we align ourselves with You. And we say that You are the true bread. What is it that I desire in this month of August? Plenty things, but You are the bread of life. When we started doing my sister of life, brother of life, and all those things, I never did it. I'm sorry. I never did it. I'm not offended with anybody. And I'm not saying it's bad to say it. You can say what you like. But I never did it. Because nothing else can be anything in this life but Jesus, who is the bread of life. I think that statement came as somehow negative. I never did it. Because when you say this is sister of life, I mean, Jesus is the bread of life. He's everything. He's the only thing. He's the only thing that is life. The other things are substitutes. You can say if you like, but I mean, I never said it. I didn't say if you say it, you are a bad person and Jesus is angry. There's a walk with God I have that I will never say anything in His life other than Jesus Christ. I seek to align myself with Him. And then number two, I hear clearly by giving more time to Him. I hear clearly because I give more time to Him, to the Word and to prayer. And my soul is calm There's a calmness of soul and a quietness in within you. So you hear clearly. You are seeking Him, and that seeking Him produces, it helps you to align with Him because you hear clearly. You see, they can all be one leading to the other one. When I'm aligning with Him, it's because I hear clearly. And then when I fast, I show, I prove, I demonstrate my devotion and pursuit of Him. It is a demonstration. You know, somebody say, you love me. Show it now. It's a demonstration that when I say Jesus is the bread of life, I mean it. I'm not eating. He's the bread of life. It's a show. It's a demonstration. Somebody say, I'm talking about somebody in this. That point helps somebody who say, I cannot fire, not fast. Then how will you show it? By mouth alone. If you say he showed you he loves you, he does something, then you too should show that he is the bread of life. That's why I started off with that scripture. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And we must show that he is the bread of life. We say, you are the bread of life. Let's say that. Lord, you are the bread of life. Okay, don't eat for 2 days. This is the bread I need. Just show it. Small, demonstrate it. Prove it. Demonstrate it. According to your capacity. If you can go 6, push yourself. Somebody says, I can just go 9:30. Come on. Okay, now, Mr. Elvis is laughing. He says, Pastor, that's why I'm warning you. Set time. I know what he's saying. Pastor, set time. I will not. My time will not help you. You only become a breaker of the law. And that is not true. That is not the passion that it requires. Say, this is what you eat. And say, I can't do this. So this, then you're feeling guilt. Once guilt enters, it's useless. Throw it away. It's useless. Jesse Franklin, another man of God I love so much, when it comes to this complaint, he says, when I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm seeking God, I'm going, I'm loving Him, I'm seeking God, I'm reading, I'm doing all, and I find that I cannot anymore, I eat. And I say, okay, 3 o'clock, I stop, I eat, because I need to go on. I'm not going to now be doing this just as a matter of, I'm not eating. There's no point. Amen? Please, help me move that place. Please, help me move that place. Why now? No, they won't ask you why again. They know. You they fast. Say, no, I know they fast. I know if I know if he tell you. If he tell you, help him move that place. What are you doing? What's the drama? Why all the drama? Anoint your face and go. It's an inward show of your desire for God. Inward something of desire for God. It's inwardly. It's there. Inside, I fast and I say, Lord, I seek you more than everything. And in seeking God, I want us to stop. Sometimes we say we seek God and then some other things. No. In seeking God, because this thing is progressive. Progressive. I know I taught you some way in the past somehow, but this is take this teaching. We're going further. In seeking God, I am seeking. Are you here? I'm going to give you a scripture quickly. I'm on time, but I'm going to help you. In seeking God, when you are seeking something, for example, I'm going to give you an example and move. Esther says, I'm going to go before the king. Let's fast some 3 days before I go before the king. In seeking, I need something. I mean, in pursuit of something, it says, I want to do something and I have to, first of all, I need something and I need to fast. And I'm fasting for that. You're not fasting for that thing. You are fasting to go and seek God. In seeking God, the favor you need will come from Him. People say Esther was queen and she was pretty and she came before the God. And Esther found favor before the God, before the king. So you find favor before the king. You find favor before the king. No problem. You know where she got the favor from, first of all? From fasting and seeking God. Everything we require for our lives comes from God. If she found favor in the eyes of the king, she got the favor from God. That's what it does. So fasting, essentially, is seeking God. The money you are looking for, come on. Try. Come from Him. Come on. The husband you are looking for. Everything you are looking for. So just go and seek God. The other things will follow through. So fasting, prove. Seek Him. Demonstrate it. Not just by talking it, by also doing it, by setting food aside. So, I'm going to show you a scripture or two. I'm trying to move as fast as possible. But you're getting something here?
Yes, sir.
Point number 4. I gave you 1, 2, 3. Number 4, we are seeking Him and saying, Lord, be glorified in my life. It's a statement that says that. It says, be glorified in my life. Why does that, how does fasting do that? When I come to God and I'm seeking God, I'm fasting, I'm setting everything aside, and I'm seeking God, and there could be something in my heart I want, I desire, but I'm saying, Lord, in that desire, you are number one. So be glorified even in the desire. So he's glorified when I receive what I seek for. Come on, what I'm looking for in my life. I need a car, and I'm seeking God. Somebody say, if I'm praying, if I need a car, I need things, oh, I need a month of money, I need to increase my salary, and I'm fasting. It's okay. That's the only true way God will be glorified in the promotion. If not, the promotion can kill you. Promotion has destroyed Christians before. This promotion, actually, is coming from where? I got it. Praise the Lord. I got it. Promotion. Praise the Lord. And you remember, in fasting and prayer, I sought his face and he helped me. And sometimes, as you are fasting and praying, remember I talked about one of the points there is here clearly. As you are fasting and praying and you are reading and he's reading the Bible, he begins to speak to you clearly. Because there's no other distraction. There's more time. Come on, fasting gives you more time. You're not washing plates. You know the time how long it takes to wash, do the dishes, cook the food? It takes some time. Calculate that to you, about 3 hours spare from breakfast and lunch. I'm telling you the truth. You know what I'm telling you, but you wake up to cook, it takes over an hour. You know, you can't cook in 20 minutes. Who does that? I mean, the kids are not like, man, this lady is trying. Hey, you're cooking. We cook soup. We cook one soup for like 3 hours. I'm not joking. Before you pick water leaf, wash the water leaf, slice the water leaf, pick the pumpkin, slice the pumpkin. I mean, I'm like, for real. I said, we're never going to cook water leaf soup when we're hungry again. I say, Mo, your food cook finish, so we chop. Mo, you chop another thing. That soup is terrible. Pick the water. No, you're hungry. You say, Mo, your cook soup finish. No, Mo, go eat it, don't be first. Eat the soup tomorrow. It's not going to work. Because by the time we're done, we're hungry. Where are we cooking this? We say, where would y'all get to? Would y'all wear this leaf, slice it, put it inside? We'll just say, okay, want your rich house, with your rich house. We already picked the water leaf already. So it's picked. I don't know how you pick it, but we pick it fast, cut the wood. We don't pick water leaf now. So we just wash it. Easy. I say, okay, well, we get it. Guy, we cook. See, hunger finished me. I'm like, yeah. And when we check time, then that day was about 3 hours. Cooking in the kitchen. If I say let's pray for 3 hours, we pray 3 hours. But that we pray 30 minutes, we are tired. I mean, we cook food for 3 hours. Cooking the food, not eating the food. Not adding, eating the food, join. Just cooking and eating. So imagine we are fasting. All that time, we dedicated towards reading the Bible. And then if you read the Bible, you will hear his voice clearly. That promotion you are looking for will come from hearing his voice. Yes. He will tell you something to do. He will make something clear for you. He will, in the fasting, hunger will catch your dream. Your dream. You see your boss. Come on. And you're hungry. You fast. You dream. You see, I was not sweeping the office. My boss now came and dashed me money. And I went to rush to buy food. Yes. You want to get favor. Favor inside of your heart. That is favor. You dash me money. That is favor. You dream on God. You pray, you go. And then hear his voice, you see things, and he come to you. Amen?
Amen.
I'll show you some scriptures because I'm out of time. Let me show you some scriptures. In Acts 13, verse number 2 and 3. I want to jump into it. Acts 13, verse number 2 and 3. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. These are people after Jesus Christ had died and rose again from the dead. These are people that were fasting. So fasting is not Old Testament. Some people say that, but that is not true. These were people fasting and praying. They fasted. They separated themselves from food. Because now, they just wanted to seek God. And in seeking God, they heard the voice of God. Come on. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. You see that now? They ministered to the Lord and fasted. They just like, Lord, we seek you. And then he came and spoke to them. Separate to me, Barnabas and Paul, for the world. So they would have heard that if they were not separated unto the Lord and fasting and saying, Lord, you are so important to us. And somebody said, this is something missing in our churches today. Now, I want to say this to you. And I thank the Holy Spirit for helping me say this. There are many things I've taught you for the past few weeks I'm going to take the word of God we just talked about. I'm going to take prayer. And you see how much you enjoyed those teachings. You see how much this teaching is difficult. And a dear man of God said, there's an issue in our lives. Because we are not so much on fasting. We are so much on many things, but a little on fasting. When I taught prayer, you were kind of excited. When I told you to read the Bible, you were like, whoop, this guy is a good pastor. Now I'm teaching fasting, I'm a bad pastor. How? Why? No, I'm trying to let the science prove to us something wrong in our hearts. These are people that love the Lord. But now I'm saying fasting, somehow you are not so excited. Come on, are you here? Somehow you are not so excited. But that tells us, that should tell us, I wanted to tell us something, we should do it. Our body is going one way. Guess what? We should say, no, we caught you now. This catches you. It has caught you. I will do that thing you say I should not do. Because I now know it's important. He will allow us to do everything. But one thing the devil will find and he fights you not to do is fasting. So ask yourself why. You come to church. You read Bible. You do outreach. You will give. You will do run around. You will pray. Fast. No. Why? It's important. I could teach you good habits of a believer. I could do prayer and the word and stop. In fact, I think God just caught me. Because really, I wanted to stop. And I said, oh, we are fasting on Monday. The best time to teach this fasting will be this Sunday. So now everybody will fast now. Or else your conscience will be judging you. So your conscience could judge you. Have I not taught fasting now? Alright. But I'm just joking. No, I'm joking, Sha. No, just fast. And then go as long as you can go. Amen? Go as long as you can go. Go as long. Make a statement. Lord, I need you more than everything. I need you more than everything. And you, this job I'm looking for, or this money I'm looking for, you will help me get it. Only you can help me get it. And instead of continuing in the craves for this job, I'm going to take these 3 days, I'm going to stop and say, only you can actually help me get it. I'm going to seek your face. Say, you are living, you are wasting valuable time. Valuable time is seeking God. You can't waste valuable time in seeking God. The other time becomes valuable when you seek God. Acts 14:23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and what? Had prayed with. You see, as I says, they didn't pray and fast. They prayed. They used fasting. I think they used it as a tool, as a weapon. Come on. Remember, I said fasting is a weapon. Should I have done this 2 weeks? But I used it. I want to finish up today. They used it as a weapon. They prayed. They didn't say prayer and fasting. They prayed with fasting. They had prayed with fasting. They use fasting. You can pray alone, no? But you can pray with fasting. That's powerful. I'm showing you something very powerful. Can I just pray alone? Yes. But you can pray with fasting. You are using fasting. You are setting out time alone. You are saying, go. Because you can pray and be eating and be going your way. But you can also say, I'm praying and I'm not going to eat. And I want to declare that above everything, the prayer, the fasting makes prayer loud. Makes it louder. So they prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. They said they had prayed and fasted. So they had prayed and fasted, then they ordained them. Before the church did anything significant, or before they heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, like we read, we know Acts where we just read just now, they were fasting that time. Now they had prayed and fasted before they ordained them. You don't go into anything significant in your life without praying and seeking God. That is what fasting. Acts 10:30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Cornelius, he said, I was fasting until this hour, that was the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. That ninth hour is like 3 o'clock. So 6 to 6 is not the norm of fasting. That is not, say do 6 to 6. That is not a normal fasting. You can be night hour is 6, it's 3 o'clock. Right? But when it's 3 o'clock, and in Delta, and he says an angel came. So he had, listen, for Cornelius in this case, he prayed and fasted and he got a visitation. So I'm saying when we are fasting, he's able to bring instruction to our lives. He's able to say things to us. We are reading the Bible. And he's able to, sometimes you are just playing a message. A message that, you know, we put a message there for you to listen to. It's on the channel. You get a message. A message I preached sometime last year, and you get instruction from that message. You get instruction. Oh, do this thing. Do this. Take this step. And powerful and bless your life. So Cornelius was fasting, and an angel came. An angel, when he said a man stood before me, he was talking about the angel that came and told him, go and get Peter to come and preach to you. And so when you are fasting, you can get instructions from the Lord. And this man was fasting and praying. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 22. That will be my last verse, and I will be done for today. But I hope somebody got something today.
Yes.
You understood fasting better, Abby?
Yes.
It's not a hunger strike. God, now we're not manipulating God. See, if I don't fast, God will say, oh, but look at me now, I'm hungry, I'm not eating this morning. You have to do it because I'm not eating. No, you are seeking God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. This will be my closing verse, and I trust that you've gotten something. I have some more, but the longer I stay, the more tired you become, and we might miss the whole thing. The whole thing is simple. Fasting is a spiritual statement. Make the statement. Make it as loud as you can make it for the next 3 days. And when you are fasting, know what you are doing. You are seeking God and his presence and his power in your life. And once you get the bread of life, brothers and sisters, once you've eaten the bread of life, life becomes sweet. Come on. Life becomes sweet. The whole of one God is sweet. Why? Because you sought him first above all. And it will help you kill other appetites. Other appetites will drown. Other appetites will die. It will help you. It's a weapon. The enemy of God, come on, the adversary of God is not his enemies, but the things he gives. He gives us food to eat, and food replaces God. We cannot even stop one day for the God. That tells you something. Tells you something. Maybe I'll spend some time on that in that conversation next week. Next week, I'll spend some time. People talk about things they want to do and all they pursue, and they ignore God. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 22. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. This is Paul speaking now. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day, and I have been in the deep. 26. In journeys, often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirsts, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Are you here?
Yes,
I'm interested in verse number 27, where it says, Paul lists a lot of things he was going through, and the things that he felt pushed him above and ahead of others. Are you here? Are they Hebrews of Hebrews? Are they Israelites? I am. He said, I'm pushed ahead of them. Come on. I'm ahead of them because I suffer more than they. Are you here? I know why I'm saying that. He begins to list these things. In verse number 28, go to verse number 28. He says, beside those things that are without, all these things I have said just now, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I mean, he said, I do so much. In all the I do so much that Apostle Paul says, you go back to 27 quickly now. He says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst. He separates hunger and thirst, and then he says, in fastings often. That tells us, Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all. Paul now says, in fastings often. If there's something that's a secret to Paul's life, it is the fact that Paul fasts often. And he counted it as one of the things where it did pass you. He said, I seek God in fasting often. He separated it from hunger and thirst. There's time when I don't have much. That's not what I'm saying about. Because there's two differences there. He could have just said, but he said in fasting, when I am now fasting, he said it's heavy upon me. Things are so pressing and I seek God. I seek God more than people. And I say, are they Hebrews? So if you take the list of things, you wonder, why does he put it there? He says, yes, I fast more than you. I spend more time seeking God. I spend more time pursuing. I spend more time beating than you. He said, I'm more than you in everything. He says, all these things are there. He said, what about the care of all the churches upon me? He said, what are you now saying? Think I'm a joke. He said, listen, in this verse, Paul begins to talk about the fact that this, I'm going to fast it, but I'm trying to show you the expression here. You see here, he's saying that people were saying that Paul was nobody, nothing. Like, God, you know me, you know where I'm coming from. I've been beaten, I've been suffering, the shipwreck, things are going on in my life. I suffer so much. I mean, there's so much in my heart concerning the church, it's so much burden upon me. And then he begins to list a lot of things, and then we see weariness, in painfulness, things are happening to me. And you say, you are better than me. He said, I fast, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. Even in fasting, I'm often in that thing. Who? We didn't know before. But as he said it, we caught it. If you have eyes, you will see one of the secrets of the man's life. He was fasting often. And we want to see that same power of that man in our lives, ministers and pastors. Paul was often in fasting. These 3 days is for us as a community. But for us personally, we can go, we should go more often in fasting. We want to see more of God in our lives. One of the secrets of Paul, I think this is my last verse, this is what I'm doing. One of the secrets of Apostle Paul, one of his secrets is he fasts often. He didn't even know. He revealed so much to us in these verses. No, I went to spend time there because I looked at the clock. I couldn't. He said, in peril of my false brethren. False brethren. Say, are there false brethren? Yeah. Oh man, I might say a lot of. He said a lot of things here that a pastor take notes of and say, oh. And then he can also open his eyes with this one. In fastings often. We thought Paul was just in revelation and eating and going and enjoying his life, and then God was just speaking to him. No, he was fasting. Those revelations he saw. I know of a man when he went to the third heaven. I can't say where any man is that it was in fasting. Many things that happened, many revelations he got to from fasting and prayer. In fasting often. We thought Paul was just a good pastor doing his work very well, organizing the place very well. No, he was a good faster. And he was a fasting often. So if all we as believers want to see more of God in our lives, more power in our life, want to emulate the Apostle Paul. I mean, I don't think there's any believer that don't want to emulate Apostle Paul. Want to be like him somehow. Sometimes the guy annoys you. This guy does too much. There's nobody more too much than him. He wrote almost all the whole Bible you read. Who is this Apostle Paul himself? One of his secrets in fasting often. That's it. Thank you. Pastor Mark, thank you. You helped the church to see what I've said. And I pray that we will fast these 3 days. But beyond this, you begin to fast often. As a smart believer, I'm not saying 6 to 6 and you are slim and you can't walk. I mean, smart believer, just say today, no, I'm not eating. No, I'm going to keep food. Say, no, we already went, don't worry. Just because it has been long. How long has it been long? She knows, my wife is here. How long? That's it, something I'm not eating. Say, no, because I eat every day. I just want to take some time out. What is food? I believe it's aside. I want to just spend some time. So that it doesn't seem to have a hold on my life. That food seems to be so powerful. It holds you. You can't even just go without it. And once you find anything like that holding you, sell it aside. Stop it. Take it to a rightful place. Can't hold me that much. And just sit aside the fact. And I pray, as we heard these words, that we become smart believers. Where we just stop. And we just fast. Monday, maybe you are done, 2 o'clock. You just say, Father, I thank you. And then you are eating. Say, eating bad? No, eating is glorious. Eating says, Father, I thank you. You provide this meal. Fasting is good because you say, Father, I worship you. You are above the meal. Both of them are so beautiful. And when I'm done fasting, I eat well. And when I'm eating, I don't feel any guilt. I don't feel anything. There's no crime there. He provided for us richly all things to enjoy. So enjoy, eat it and enjoy it. But when the enjoyment is now becoming more than God, there's a problem. Come on. When he provided something for you to enjoy and the thing is now more than him, there's a problem. You say, this thing, I like it, I enjoy it, this chicken, but I'm not eating it because I enjoy you more than it. And then you say that. That's a statement. See, every smart believer should say those statements from time to time. And I pray for you today that the grace of this word will rest upon you. That the Holy Spirit will enable you in this season, the next 3 days as we endeavor and fast and we pray, seeking the face of God, that there will be grace for you to fast and to pray in the name of Jesus. And every one of you will begin to seek God more than than food in the name of Jesus. And that everything that has been exalted above God, whether it's food, social media, friends, pursuit of life, that by this fast you will declare that they are dethroned in the name of Jesus. And that Jesus and the Father will become your heart desire in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray, as you fast and seek the Lord, you receive all that you desire in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God's people said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.